Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, 11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Jay Binkley, he's in for Cody. Drew Nixon producing the show. We'll get to the trash of the day in 20 minutes.
How's he doing in his dancing?
Well, it's his daughter's dance competition. That's right. Well, it's funny though. He's down in Fort Worth, which is not far from Arlington, which is not far. I doubt it, but he's there with his whole family. So they're probably very busy doing things. But yeah, I mean, he's there. He could, there's a couple games to go check out the Rangers ballpark. You know, if you wanted to check that out as well. I do not know. I texted about something else. Drew was in the group chat with us. We were texting about Cash Out, bro, last night with Cody. But that was the extent of our conversation. That was it. We'll get back into some of the things JJ Piccolo had to say with us. If you miss any of that interview, one, it'll be podcasts. Two, we'll re-air it in the 1 o'clock hour. But we'll also play some cuts throughout. I thought he addressed a lot of the things that fans were wondering about. I thought his answer on, really their approach to the trade market and where things are at is a reminder of how difficult at this point, though, it is to find buyers or find sellers. Because everybody feels like they're in it. So yeah, the Rafael Devers trade happened, as I said yesterday. I think that was different because of him not being happy about Alex Bregman and everything else and playing a different position. That doesn't mean that the floodgates have opened on a trade. There are reports out there that, the Royals are looking for outfield help, but the idea that they could just go out tomorrow and trade for a big time bat from who? And that's the issue. But also, in a weird way, let's talk about this road trip, Bink. I kind of want them to wait to see how this road trip goes from a buyer perspective. You could say, well, it's too late if they do that. Yeah, but if this road trip goes poorly and they're sitting 7 games below 500, 8 games below 500, something like that after a road trip, well, then I don't know anybody that would want them to really be buyers at that point. So this feels like a big road trip, which is why I'll ask you and everybody on the text line as well, 913-586-7965. What do we think this team looks like by the time they come back to Kauffman Stadium? Right, they're on this road trip starting with Texas. We know that tonight. And not just the record. I mean, that for starters, sure. But do you think there are any changes? Based on our conversation we just had with JJ Piccolo, no, I don't think there's going to be any, staff or player type changes this week. That would be a stunner based on what we just heard from JJ Piccolo.
They all got on a charter.
Yeah, they all got on the charter, but just even with the way he spoke about, they're still looking internally from a player perspective. They've obviously, I think, other than, Cam Devaney, I really don't know anybody else in the minors that you can really call up at this point. I feel like they've exercised all of that with the Rave and maybe at some point Melendez gets back up here. And I know some fans, are skeptical about that, but that would be the only other player I could see in the minors right now that you could really look to call up at some point over the next couple of weeks.
It's just your internal guys doing something and feeling better. It's like what JJ was talking about as far as the players when they speak. Yeah. You have to be performing kind of to be that talk, unless you have the cachet or the career, or a name in baseball, like Bobby, like Sal, like these guys. I mentioned Moose. Moose didn't really speak like he had it in him, but once he started playing better, he started to to speak more. But, you know, can Jack go on a run, kind of what you're seeing from Nick Kurtz or whatever, and this walk-off home runs, get some confidence going in that direction? I mentioned the Orioles winning 11 out of 15. Tampa's been on a run. They're now with 2.5 games of the Yankees. It's going to have to be internal guys taking the next step forward, like Jack. I mean, that's barely been unleashed, what he can do. Now, he can definitely make a difference with that bat in the lineup if he, you know, is like Jack Caglione. You know, kind of the player that he was when they drafted him, the player they expected when they called him up. But even him taking that next step. Bobby Witt getting hot again and going and taking to the next direction. So, yeah, there might be some outside help, but I think they're going to be looking internally and just their own guys. And, hey, you got to step up. This pitching staff did. They didn't let off at all. They did not let off the gas at all. The hitters did. As far as scoring runs and production, RBI, they took a step back. The pitching staff never did. But I think they'd be internally guys taking that step forward. Sal Perez started to be better. Because it is kind of getting to the point where you are what you are. You just takes the internal players to elevate their games.
Couple games against the Rangers, couple games against the Padres before you come back and you have the Rays and then the Dodgers at the end of the month.
It's tough,
as well.
Man. Tough it's, schedule.
As we went through 25 games, including tonight, till the All-Star break, and there's only one team currently that you have a better record than. You know, as far as do they get back to 500, I don't think they're going to be back to 500 after this road trip, obviously. But if you told me that suddenly they had a road trip, a successful one, would, to me, cutting this in half, you know, get back to where you're two games under 500. You're four right now. You get back to where you're two games under 500, then depending on the standings.
That's why that A's series is so aggravating, man.
For sure. Yeah, but, you know, Bink, that's where you are three games back of a playoff spot. If you cut your deficit in terms of 500 in half, and you're two games under 500 by the time this road trip is over, let's say at that point that puts you hopefully two back or a game and a half back of a playoff spot, depending on how everybody else performs. That would be a very successful road trip. You pick up two games on this road trip. Of course, that'd be a great road trip. I don't know if that's going to happen, but that would be like the most optimistic way I can look at the road trip.
You can have that, but you've got to carry the momentum when you get home. Like, they've lost six straight series at home.
Sure.
And then when you come back, and you've got Tampa and the Dodgers, these teams at home, that's where you need to make your hay when you're playing the Kauffman Stadium. The six straight road series losses for this team. You know, you go back to the White Sox in early May, or, you know, this team won a homestand.
Yeah.
So, a home series.
Look, the Texas Rangers heading in, I haven't looked at the odds. I'm assuming the Rangers are going to be favorites for a couple games. I mean, Lugo tonight against Jack Leiter. Obviously, that's Al Leiter's kid, right? I haven't looked at the, I can pull it up.
It's Lugo, Bubic, and Walker.
The Royals have been losing plenty of games when they've been a favorite, though. You know, that's what's weird. I think Vern had the stat.
What, nine straight losses?
Something like that, yeah. As a favorite, so it doesn't really matter. But just, what's your confidence level they ever get back to 500, though, this season? Truly. And the text line, some of you have said, not going to happen. Totally get it. Look, if they continue to perform the way they are offensively, then yeah, I don't know if they get back to 500 either. It requires, as you mentioned, guys like Bobby Witt Jr. picking it up, Vinny continuing to do what he's doing, and then can Cags get going too? He's
that's the one thing, man. If Cags gets going,
he's not going to be the savior. That was never what it's supposed to be. He was supposed to be a guy that gave them a huge jolt, and in addition to what they're having long term next year, different conversation what his role is. But now it feels like, you, in addition to Vinny Pasquantino, can you get him or Salvi? Who do you have more confidence in getting going? That Salvi just gets going and it's not father time catching up? That Bobby gets going again?
You or expect that, Bobby be the like most Bobby's likely.
Bobby's going to get going. I'm not, like, I don't know if it's this week. I'm not worried about Bobby Wood Jr.
He's going to go on a tear. He's going to go on a streak like I did last summer. Like, you have a lull and he's just going on a tear. I do believe that tear is coming.
This sounds crazy when you like the say it out loud test, but are you more confident that in 3 weeks we're talking about Jack Caglione being a bigger boost for the offense or Salvador Perez?
Cags.
That says a lot.
I was going to say Canna, but
that's your guy. He just got 10 years of service time. Congratulations
he
to Mark
spoke
Canna.
Too.
Yeah, you're hung up on that.
No, I would say Cags.
You're
I would
hung
say
up
Cags.
On the players only meeting.
I would say Cags.
And yeah, I kind of, but isn't that a problem though? Like, if we're now saying...
He should never be looked at as a savior, but that's kind of what he needs to be at this point.
But isn't that a problem if we're... And I'm not even saying I disagree with you, but if we're saying that in 3 weeks you think it's more likely that Caglione can be a guy... I don't want to say carry the offense.
The pin's gold because Nick Kurtz was drafted two slots ahead.
He was.
Back-to-back walk-off home runs for that team. That's a boost for the A's.
Yeah, no, Nick Kurtz has been playing very well.
I would expect performances like Kurtz.
Oh, I'm not saying that... my expectations for Cags are any different than what they were 3 weeks ago. I'm shocked he doesn't have a home run. That kind of speaks to the whole hitting staff thing. And hopefully maybe tonight's the night in Texas, down there that Cags gets his first home run. I'm just saying, if we're saying that you trust that Cags will be a bigger part of the offense in within the next 3 weeks than Salvador Perez, that's a huge problem. That's a bad thing for this team, short term, not long term, because that tells you that Salvador Perez just is not going to get going this year.
Yeah, but they have the confidence in Cags going forward. I don't know how bad of thing that is. I mean, okay. Sal Perez, you might be, just sitting there. He is what he is at this point. But if Cags takes off, I think that's huge for just his self-confidence and going forward. I think it's bigger for Cags to be better down the stretch than Sal, to be honest with you. We know what Sal can do and what he's done. We're talking about a guy with the Hall of Fame career, World Series MVP. We know what he can do. We know he can turn
around.
But
he's not doing that.
But Cags
is
the future, man. Sal's not. Cags is.
Yeah, but that's not what I'm at. I'm not asking long-term for the franchise who's more important. Obviously, it's Caglione at this
Cags
point.
I think could be.
For sure. Yeah, I'm just saying that. You're saying we know what Salvador Perez can be, but that's my point. In 3 weeks, if Jack Caglione you think is going to be a bigger part of the offense, I said that the reason why that's a problem, that means Salvador Perez never got going this season.
True.
That's all I'm saying. I totally am with you. Bigger picture, who's going to be more excited? Fans are going to be more excited if Caglione gets going. Totally. Totally with you on that route. We'll get back into the Royals throughout the show, obviously, as we're talking about them beginning their road trip, and we'll talk more about what this next couple of weeks could look like, and really, do they get back to 500 in the next week or so? But before we get to trash of the day, which is 9 minutes away, last night, game 5, NBA Finals, Drew, your Pacers went down. They're up against it now. Thursday night, the Thunder could clinch in Indianapolis. It does go back to Indy, reminder.
And that's a tough pill,
maybe,
there, Drew.
Maybe give the Pacers a shot just to extend it one more game because it goes back to Indy. But
I think it's going 7, but
Tyrese Haliburton, who's been awesome. And he's a great, great player. If you thought still, though, that he was in the superstar category last night, can end any of that debate. That's silly at this point. I understand he's a little banged up, but superstars don't play as many minutes as he did and not make a bucket. You can't say he's a superstar when that happens.
No,
I'm sorry.
No, because superstars do find a way to score.
In the NBA Finals, superstars don't not score. I mean, that's just not how it plays out. It's, I don't know where you're at, Drew. Like, that's just not that cannot be the conversation about him anymore.
No, I agree.
0-6 in 34 minutes?
I never thought that he was a superstar like that, just at all. I think Magic Johnson was on First Take and was asked what he thought a real superstar was. I thought he gave a good answer. And his answer was basically, if you attract any audience to watch your, like, if you convince people to travel to your games, like, if you are box office, like, you're the reason why arenas are selling out, then you're a superstar. Like, Shohei Ohtani is a superstar. Aaron Judge is a superstar. I don't know how many there are in the NBA that are actually like that. If we're being based on that definition, LeBron James, Steph Curry, I mean, are people, is Shea Gilgeous Alexander, selling out arenas? I would consider him a superstar. I would consider Jokic a superstar. So I think that line in the sand can be, covered up a little bit with certain instances, but like, I don't think Tyrese Haliburton is a superstar. Now, he, regardless of that, even if he's a star alone, you still can't put up 0 points. Even if you're a star, you can't put up 0 points. That's just the way that
it is. Back-to-back All-Star.
I guess he finished with 4, right? Because he had a couple free throws, or something. But shots from the field,
you can't,
man. Like,
not make a shot, and that's not, like, stylistically, that's not his. His game is more like a Jason Kidd or a Steve Nash, where I'm gonna facilitate. Really get you. I'm gonna be more like Chris Paul. Like, that's who he is. At some point, though, he's got to be able to knock down the shots. And again, like you said, I know he's dealing with the injuries. I think it was more of the reason them losing this game was a collection of everything. They had 23 turnovers. They allowed 32 points off the turnovers. They didn't deserve to win the game, the Pacers. And then you add in the fact that this series has been all about the depth being showcased. Talked about it yesterday. Aaron Wiggins last night and Cason Wallace combined for 25 points off the bench. Massive. A massive difference for them in that game. Obviously, Jalen Williams, J-Dub had 40 points, which is a spectacular finals performance. So a lot of it came, it just all came together for the Thunder last night.
The Thunder went away from a title. They're also went away from doing what we were discussing a few nights ago, which was, hey, feels like after you lose that game in Indy, the Thunder are about to win 3 in a row. And do you think the Pacers can win on Thursday? I think this thing is over, man. I think it's over on Thursday
night. For some
night.
Reason, I do.
I wanted to go another game
because
it's a great series.
I think they're going to get 7.
You think? I hope
they're they're going to get seven. I think the Panthers are going to wrap it up tonight against the Oilers. By the way, you want to bet on that?
Oh, on the Stanley Cup?
Panthers minus 150.
Bink just...
No, I'm just saying.
Forget basketball. NHL finals. He's like, I'm done with this basketball conversation. Yeah,
no, I'm just saying that 3-2, they could wrap it up tonight.
You're right.
I'm expecting them to wrap it up.
I hope they do.
Not
but by the way,
Oklahoma City to wrap it up.
Reminder, if Florida takes care of business tonight, since I guess we can talk hockey, if the Panthers are going to do that, that means Cash Out Bro is done.
Bet
would be over at that point in time.
That sucks, man.
$13 bet to win $270K. Could have cashed out $123.
Yeah, it sucks for him.
It does suck for him.
That's a lot of money, man.
It sucks for him, but this is the thing.
That's life-changing money.
I'm convinced over the course of our entire following it on this show that he was, I'm convinced, forced to not cash out. Because I think whoever's flying him out to all of these games and everything like that, I think they told him either you cash out and you lose all this. You're not going to any of the games. You're not doing any of this.
I think the players should take a collection and give it to him.
The onus is on him. It sucks for him, but he also is the reason why he's losing, not cashing in on any of it. It's his fault.
I agree. He definitely has to own it, and I think it was a terrible decision.
I don't feel sorry for him. It stinks, but it's not. I don't feel bad for it.
It's a terrible decision.
Let's play some bets tonight. You want to do that gold?
We can make a bet if you would like. Real quick, I was just going to say, though, as far as the situation with him, Bleacher Report was probably flying him and buying him tickets to these games. That's cool and all. That's not the same as $123K. That's not the same as $270K.
Which is why he should have taken the money and said, forget flying me out. If I cash out and you don't fly me out, I don't care. I can fly out myself, which I think has been Cody's whole point.
Like Marlon's
this
man.
Entire time. And now, I mean, he could cash out for $40,000 still, or whatever the number was last night.
Which seems like nothing to him now.
But
which...
still, cash out the money. You bet $13, and you could win. You could bag $40,000. You could get yourself a new Benz at least. Forget anything else. You could get yourself a brand new car, a brand new nice luxury car with $40,000.
No, you can't.
Are you
kidding me,
Drew?
For $40,000?
Not after taxes, too.
Brand new Jeeps costs like $65,000.
Hold up, Jeeps are different than. My car brand new is like $30,000, well, or less.
Drew, man, I don't know.
I like your car, but it's not a Mercedes. You know what I mean?
I understand,
but
you're not getting a Mercedes for $40,000.
A Jeep is an SUV. The SUVs are always more.
But you're not getting a Mercedes for $40,000, Drew.
All right, I'm going to check.
You're not getting one.
So anyway.
I'm looking right now. So
you
again,
don't even need to look. I'll tell you right now, you're looking at $80,000-$90,000 top minimum.
I'm with you, babe.
Continue the conversation.
I was just going to say... This is like the trap as a sports bettor that can be difficult, because if you would have told this kid when he made the bet a year ago, basically, remember, this was five legs. He had a WNBA title he picked the Dodgers to win the World Series. He picked the Eagles to win the Super Bowl. So this all happened back in like September or August, I think. If you would have told him then $13 to win $270K and eventually he's going to have a chance 13 to win 40, or anybody in life, $13 to $40K. Everybody's taking that. The problem is he got greedy. He loves the attention. He had 123 on the line or available to cash out. And he said, that's not good enough for me. And now when he sees 40 as a cash out, that just seems like that's just a terrible amount of money. And that's the psyche of it. And that's
like
what the
around,
books
find out.
The books are happy that this kid is doing this, is giving all this attention, and he's not going to get anything.
No, that's
you're not
the
getting
other thing.
Drew's still, you're going to be looking for
$40,000 new bins.
No. I apologize. $44,000.
He's not buying any bottom of the line.
I'm really
Mercedes.
Sorry. You can get a C-Class Mercedes for $44,000.
He's not, Drew.
I apologize.
Drew, $40,000 can't even buy you a new Explorer.
Bink, is it a Benz? It's a Benz base model. It's a Benz. A Benz is a Benz.
A base model, man.
E-Class Mercedes starts in the low 30s.
Dang, you guys need to calm down. I know what I'm talking about.
But you have to admit
a motorcycle.
A Benz is a Benz.
But you have to admit, though.
I'm
kind of with Bink, but you would have to admit, Drew, if somebody came up to you and said, hey, I'm buying you a luxury car, you would not be thinking they're buying you a $30,000 car. Be honest.
Correct, but I think you'd be surprised at how... Not affordable, because that's not the right word, but how low the cost actually is in comparison to what you would think. Like, if you want an AMG, you're spending $100,000+. If you want a base level C-Class Mercedes, it's $44,000. That's less. I don't know how much a Jeep is, Bink. It's probably.
$80,000.
You can get a base model BMW or Benz for in the 40s.
He could get a Chevy Malibu, brand new. 26,995 to 32,695. He's getting that, plus having a little cash to take a little trip. So he can get himself a Malibu.
All right, let's get to the trash of the day. I had two choices today. We didn't get to this yesterday, so we can either do the casino toilet issue, or we can do the cicada attack that caused an accident. Which one do you guys want?
And they're both so good.
Yeah, which one do you guys want?
I think toilet humor's about as good
as anything. Okay, all right, let's do the one involving a casino and a toilet.
Awesome.
So this is Pennsylvania, gentleman named Jeremy. Been charged by police after allegedly blowing up a toilet in a Pittsburgh area casino. Now, not blowing it up in the way you might be thinking. There's a couple different ways that could go, right? Well, reports say that he was taken into custody by casino security at 5:40 in the morning on Sunday. He allegedly trespassed in a closed restaurant and tried to steal bottles of alcohol worth up to $4,000. While being transferred to this secure area at the casino, Bink, he asked for permission to use the bathroom.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
While in the employee restroom, he allegedly lit a commercial-grade firework that he just happened to have on him, you know?
Wait, what?
Because who doesn't have fireworks in their pockets all the time? And he plopped it in the toilet. A casino employee also happened to be in the employee restroom, had to be treated for minor injuries. He was unable to post the $25,000 bail, so he remains in jail until his hearing, which I think was yesterday. I don't know what the outcome is now, but yeah. So this guy got in trouble for stealing bottles, allegedly, and then he lit a firework that he just happened to have firecrackers or what? A lighter, and he happened to have fireworks on him.
M80? What do you mean?
Because who doesn't take M80s into a casino bathroom?
Sweating a Roman candle.
I mean, I don't know what this guy's problem was. He was stealing $4,000 worth of alcohol to begin with.
Actually, thought he'd go to the bathroom and light off a firework. I mean, who doesn't do that? I thought when I first saw this, like, it was blew it up. You know what I'm saying? Like, he had to go. And it became a disaster. I thought that's where this was going originally when I saw it.
No, no. This is fireworks in a bathroom toilet.
My mom's at a casino. Maybe she is one.
Your mom's at the casino right now?
Yeah, I dropped her off on the way here.
You dropped her off at 7 a.m.?
I did. Yeah,
at 7 a.m.?
I took mom to the casino.
Oh,
it wasn't 7 a.m.
8 a.m.?
It was closer to 8.
Does your mom do slots?
I got stuck on 635 like you.
So are you going to pick her up after the show?
Yeah, old ladies. You know, old ladies and slot machines, man, they always win. She's meeting her friends and stuff.
She'll be there for 8 hours?
She's got friends coming. No, I think her friend might be taking her. But she got friends from out of town, so she said, hey, can you drop me off at the casino on the way to work? I said, sure, mom, let's do it. Just don't take your firecracker in the bathroom.
Well, don't steal the $4,000 worth of alcohol.
Do that either.
Jeez.
So she'll
who doesn't take your mom?
I'm more fascinated by this. We'll talk about this during the random question.
You don't take your mom to the casino?
No, actually. How many times a week does she go? She'll just sit there and play slots all day?
Usually about once a month or something. She had a really good day the other day. She did go the other day.
Twice in a week. So she won,
but her friend was coming in town. She's like, you know, I'll meet you down.
She won, and she was like, oh, yeah, I got it.
How much are we talking? Can you share? Like $1,000 or $10,000?
Halfway.
Okay, all right.
She's going back. She's on a roll, right? Old ladies win at casinos. It's part of the rules. They just do. They sit down and win. You leave a machine or something, they sit down and they win. It's part of the rules. But she said, hey, do you mind dropping me off at the casino? And there's a lot of construction around there, too. Do you mind dropping me off? And then I got in that traffic jam on 635, Drew, because I was taking mom to the casino.
635 was interesting this morning.
Anyway, she got a text from me yesterday. She said, hey, do you mind dropping me off at the casino? I said, no.
Mm. Good for you, Bink.
Yeah.
You're being a good son.
Yeah, you do that stuff.
Yeah, that is nice of you.
Take your mom to the casino.
That's very nice of you. Are you going to go in there? Are you going to go in there?
I might. It depends on her situation at the time. 8 hours later, whatever.
You think? All right, real quick. Do you think she'll be up or down when you pick her up?
I don't know if she can quit. So I hope. You know what I'm saying?
Please gamble responsibly.
Well, she's got a little bit of Alex Gold in her. You know,
please gamble responsibly.
You've been rolling.
I hear you.
Except with Vern.
I don't do slots.
I don't do slots though. I know you don't.
You took her to Hollywood.
What's that?
No, she's
Argosy.
I know which one she goes to.
I was going to say, because theoretically she'd go to the book, and all of a sudden if she had like a ticket on Ohio State to win the national title,
she'd do that. That'd be fun though. That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome, mom, if she did that. Where do you play when you go, Golden? If you don't do slots or anything, I play the table games, but
sports book or craps.
Craps.
Roulette sometimes.
Roulette's fun. Yeah. That's fun. He's like poker all the time.
Last time I was at a casino was when we were there for our Vern's Roundtable with Massey and Isbell.
Didn't Drew win a bunch of money last time you guys went to Vegas?
He won more than we did, than Cody and I.
Nice work, Drew.
Yeah, well, hopefully we're in Vegas in August again. We'll see. All right,
that Taylor Swift. Shout out to Taylor Swift.
The trash of the day. Up next, guys, Chiefs Red Half Hour. Bink, you told me something about this Chiefs offensive line. I want you to bring that up again because I don't know if I fully agree with the word you use to describe them. That's
real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
It's coming up next.
96.5, The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour is brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. So minicamp is underway. A couple days here of minicamp out at Arrowhead, or at least the Chiefs practice facility, I should say. I saw Mackenzie Nelson over at 41 put out a photo showing that Trey Smith is there, has a helmet on. Now, that's the media portion. I don't know if he's actually practicing. Remember, a hold-in, you can still just stand there the whole time. Yeah. But he's there. We were wondering. That was one of our questions that we had heading in. We're going to talk more about that even the noon hour. Trey Smith, long-term
deal. Social media videos.
Yeah.
And so it's not truly Chiefs season until the media takes pictures of dudes catching passes. I mean, that's when it really starts. When they show the guy, oh, look at this catch.
Just wait till training camp.
Everything, man.
It'll be Tyquan Thornton will have a one-handed catch.
Look at Mahomes. He's stretching. Whoa. Awesome. This will get 1,000 likes and retweets.
Tyquan Thornton will have a one-handed catch.
That's the media,
during
man.
Training camp.
That's right.
And it'll have a million views, and suddenly people will talk themselves into Tyquan Thornton having a 1,000-yard season. Yeah. And you're like, you realize he may not even make the team.
I saw the video.
But that's the fun. Look, that's part of the deal, man. That's part of the deal.
Media loves training camp pictures.
It's social media likes it. Yeah,
they do.
Yeah. You told me something yesterday before the show about this Chiefs team. Thinking of offensive linemen, we were talking about Trey Smith, and you said something about the O-line and how people perceive them.
Yeah, I did. You look at this offensive line, you think, okay, did they have offensive line issues down the stretch? You looked at every mock draft, which I do clearly, and it was Chiefs going offensive lineman in the first round. That's what they're doing. And they did end up with Josh Simmons in the first round because that was just the automatic piece. But you think about this line and the kind of production they should have, and really, it really glorifies that weakness at left tackle. Because you look around the league, this team has two all-pro first team on the offensive line in their center, Creed Humphrey, and they did with Joe Tooney. Obviously, he's in Chicago. You've lost him. And Trey Smith, he should be an all-pro. He's in the all-pro, or he makes the Pro Bowl, but who cares? Everybody does. But he was in it. So you have three Pro Bowl guys from that offensive line. You think, well, it's 3 fifth-year line right there. That's, you know, they shouldn't have any problems running the football or protecting Mahomes or doing anything. And they, you know, shouldn't have just, you know, been beaten like they were against the Eagles in the Super Bowl, because I think people looked at it as a glaring weakness. But when you sit there and think about it, you know, Creed was first-team All-Pro. Joe Tooney was first-team All-Pro. There's Trey Smith, who's going to end up as the highest-paid guard in the National Football League. That's 3 fifths of your line. It's pretty damn good, almost as good as anywhere in the NFL, but yet something wasn't clicking. That's obviously the left tackle situation they're in. Now, would I trade a situation where you didn't have your guard with those kind of accolades and a center for a All-Pro left tackle? 100%. The all-pro left tackle would be the ultimate for the Chiefs. So I would sacrifice other parts on the line for that. Can Josh Simmons be that? I don't know. I mean, he's going to play this year.
Yeah.
He might be put on PUP. May play, may not. We don't know. We do not know. It's a big question mark with Josh Simmons. But you think about this team and this line, and you think about this year, all right, Juwan Taylor, you had him last year. Trey Smith, you had him last year. Creed Humphrey, you had him last year. You do take a downgrade that Joe Tooney's gone. Say what you want about Tooney. Yeah, it was a rough game against the Eagles in the Super Bowl, but
no, he
was
all pro.
And he was playing out of position. He's a guard, not a tackle. And those warts finally showed themselves when it got to the Super Bowl. Like, he looked good. He looked serviceable getting down the stretch. And again, he was playing out of position because he didn't have the arm length of a tackle, because that is important.
That's what I hear, Big. I hear that.
It is. Arm length is important. But he didn't have it. So now you're going into a season where you, I don't care who you grab, you're not getting somebody the quality of Joe Tooney at left guard. It's just not going to happen. Like, could Kingsley step in and be the dude, you know, the former tackle transferring over to guard and being that guy? Yeah, he can be good in service. He's going to be good as Joe Tooney. No. So really the answer comes down to how good Jalen Moore is going to be. And Josh Simmons, to me, that's what makes the whole offensive line work. I mean, you talk about running the football and getting production on the ground or giving Mahomes that extra time to throw to what your weapons are. Xavier Worthy and Hollywood Brown are down the field guys. And I know people like to say, well, Rasheed Rice, well, he can be, but he's more that intermediate guy for the Chiefs. But when you have the elite speed set of a Worthy and a Brown, and you're not getting the time to utilize that speed down the field, that can be a problem. But you look at this offensive line and say, well, what's wrong with this offensive line? There's two first-team All-Pros and another guy that should have been an All-Pro in Trey Smith. And you're like, how bad are they? Well, that comes down to left tackle.
So I hear you. I think you said they underperformed considering.
Did they underperform? Yeah, to some extent.
Considering the talent they have. I think what comes
down to.
We get
enamored by the pass-blocking stats and
sure.
The lack of sacks and the pass-blocking stats that they have. But there's no reason this team can't grind the football on the ground either.
Yeah, so underperform, I mean, look, the interior of the offensive line, the guys you're talking about, Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey, they didn't underperform. The entire unit underperforms because we all know the two most important
left
positions
tackle
on the offensive line did not play great. Specifically, the left tackle was a disaster. They had multiple left tackles, as we all know, start throughout the season.
Well, Tooney was better than average left tackle, though.
Sure, but that still only was like 5-7 games of the season, right? Whereas Juwan Taylor was better at times, not worth the money you're paying him, but he was average, I would say. People
without the penalties and stuff, he's very serviceable.
Yeah, and so this is also why I still think he'll be the right tackle week one. I know
it's the biggest frustration with me with this team, because you look at it on paper and you're like, man, these guys should be road grade. Like, 3rd-and-1 situations or 4th-and-1 situations, gold? This team should have been, I know they're not going to do the quarterback sneak, but I don't care. They should have been able to pick up a yard. That's the most frustrating thing. When you have a first-team All-Pro center, a first-team All-Pro guard, and Trey Smith, that's the interior part of your line, but yet you couldn't push through, and maybe some of that's on the running back too. Clearly it is with Pacheco and stuff. But if you can't get a third and one or a fourth and one, and you have two first-team All-Pros and another guy that's going to be the highest paid, that's a problem.
No doubt. No doubt. I was just going to say, Bing, just the underperforming part would just be based off of resources. I'm with you on the not that Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey have underperformed. If you want to say that as an organization, they've underperformed on the O-line, of course. I mean, they've committed multiple premium picks at that position, or at least one this year. Now we're going to find out. Last year, a second round pick. I still count that as a premium pick, by the way. A second round pick to me is still premium.
Sure.
They've obviously committed a lot of financial, you know, contracts to the tackle spot, whether it was in the past Orlando Brown Jr. On a trade, and then money that would have been required on a deal. They weren't willing to go to the full extent on the deal, but they did on a franchise tag. Juwan Taylor is one of the highest paid offensive linemen in football, certainly for a right tackle. He is. Creed Humphrey is the highest paid center in football. Trey Smith right now, even with the franchise tag alone, is the highest paid guard in football from a per year standpoint, even before he gets a long-term deal done. So underperform from a commitment to capital and finances, yes. Do I think that the entire O-line underperformed? No, the left tackle underperformed. Therefore, the left side of the offensive line underperformed.
But the interior part, though, it did collapse at times. Third and one, fourth and one shouldn't have been a problem with that group. Like I said, that should not have been a problem with that group.
That's been an issue for years, though, right? The short yardage stuff.
But that shouldn't be an issue with the acumen and the level of play of that offensive line. You should be able to be dominant in the middle of the football field. Now, I will say this. Defenses are adjusting, and they're not putting their best resources, of course, going against Trey Smith and Tooney and Creed Humphrey. Well, I know Tooney's gone, but they weren't doing it. They were coming from the outside because they know that clearly was the weakness.
How much do you account like win? I know the, like the sacks and stuff, Bink, but what about like win rates? Like in terms of like pass block, run block win rates? Because
I mean, again, they're all good at that. Even Juwan Taylor's good at that.
I was going to say, because if you look at the amidst this is the entire O-line last year, according to what ESPN puts out, the pass block win rate, as in for the Kansas City Chiefs, was 67%, ranked 8th in the NFL. The run block win rate was 7th in the NFL at 73%. So they're theoretically a top 8 offensive line.
I think that sometimes goes with analytics versus the eye test. To be honest with you, I think some of that can be skewed because this team should be really good at short yardage running situations, and they're not. That is a fact.
Isn't that also potentially a sign of maybe Isaiah Pacheco and Kareem Hunt just aren't that great at running? Maybe they don't have a great running back.
That is a problem.
And that gets us into the conversation we're going to have anyway about the backfield heading in, because I think the vision of Isaiah Pacheco was a conversation that we were having last year. Kareem Hunt helped them a little bit in short yardage, I would say, because he just would run straight, right? Like, and he would be.
He became the guy. If you watch the Chiefs towards the end of the first half and then definitely the second half, that was their trusted guy at that point. If Pacheco wasn't getting the job done, it was Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, but do I look at the backfield heading to this season? Do I feel great about it? Not necessarily. Look, I think Isaiah Pacheco a full offseason to get healthy. I think we will see signs of the old Isaiah Pacheco in a good way. You know, is he limited on still the ceiling of what he can do? Yeah, like I think a great year again from him. He's a 900 to 1,000 yard guy. He's never had 1,000 yards. He came up just short. He's a 900 to 1,000 yard guy again. But the way he performed once he came back from injury, that was not the same Isaiah Pacheco. I'm convinced he just wasn't fully healthy. We're going to find out during training camp.
It's never been Alex. It's never been that thing. I mean, you're thinking about a guy, when people think of Isaiah Pacheco, you think about the hard running style, right? The angry runner, that kind of style. But you don't see it on third and short. And the breakaway, too, it's 4.37 guy at the combine. You just haven't seen that kind of breakaway. I just think there's been so much untapped potential there. But at some point, you keep going year after year, and you haven't seen that untapped potential. But he's a very hard runner. He should translate to third and one. He should translate to fourth and one.
Is it because there's, I don't want to say predictability, but I think, I can't remember who it was, but I think I was watching something, and they were describing the Chiefs' offense as predictable at times where, hey, they can't get that 31 because they know what's coming because the Chiefs don't run the ball that much anyways compared to other teams. Third and one, this is a time where it would make sense to run, or on first and 10, like being able to, you know, getting themselves in certain situations where they're more predictable, hence the reason why they can't convert a fourth and one, or they don't get that 2 yards on a third and two, you know, where they ended up just starting to pass the ball essentially all the time from that point forward.
And I know they want to get a lot more production, and Isaiah's gotten exponentially better, you know, receiving out of the backfield. That's something they like to do. And I'll be honest with you, I think Breshard Smith is going to be that guy really with the Chiefs as far as catching out of the backfield. He could do so many different things. Again, a converted wide receiver to running back. He was the starting wide receiver at the U, and look at what he can do. Well, and he didn't start some games, but he played a lot at the U at wide receiver. That's what he was before he went to SMU as a running back. But to be honest with you, that is an extra weapon that they do have. They do expect them to do. But, man, would I like to see him just grind it on third and one, fourth and one.
Yeah, I think best case scenario, if you told me that Smith for this first year in the league became some sort of Jerick McKinnon type on third downs for them, because you mentioned the pass catching ability, that'd be a huge win. I don't expect much more than that. I'm still curious how the backfield is going to shape up when we get to training camp, because Pacheco is going to be the number one running back, as he should be based on who they have in house. Kareem Hunt is here. They didn't bring him back to just sit on the bench, so he's going to have a role. And then you have Smith and Elijah Mitchell, and then Carson Steele. So, you know, injuries happen too, so let's keep that in mind. Some of this sorts itself out, but Elijah Mitchell, we don't have to revisit the pre-draft conversation. I don't understand why they brought back Kareem Hunt. I just don't, but that's fine. When you look at Elijah Mitchell and then I look at Smith, like I guess you could argue Elijah Mitchell would have been, like, if you would have signed J.K. Dobbins, it's the same sort of thing. But Elijah Mitchell's played less than J.K. Dobbins in the last year or so. Last year, I wanted Dobbins instead of bringing back Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That was something I had said at the time.
Me too.
So,
I was right there with you on that.
So Elijah Mitchell has, if we're just doing by ceiling, all right, Breshard Smith's, you know, his ceiling's high because he's a rookie. We just don't know. His ceiling is high. Pacheco, we know what he is. Kareem Hunt, we know what he is. Elijah Mitchell, I still think his ceiling's fairly high, but man, his floor is awfully low because of the injury
and
risk.
Durability, yeah, it's a huge thing. The speed's there. He's 4.32 guy.
The fair thing, I guess, in regards to the Elijah Mitchell conversation is at least you're not, for somebody who's injury prone or dealing with injuries, you're paying less in fairness. But again, if J.K. Dobbins is healthy all season long, then it's worth the pennies that where did he even go again?
I mean, say again, sorry.
Dobbins.
He's in the Broncos. Yeah. The Broncos? Okay. They got R.J. Harvey.
Then
and,
it's worth the pennies
and Dobbins,
that the Broncos
I like
are paying.
I
forget how much even
Dobbins this year too.
How much did he get paid, Dobbins?
Oh, it can't be much. I mean, neither is Elijah Mitchell's not making much either. But
is Dobbins six? I don't know why.
Dobbins,
six
no. That's too high. 1 year, like three or something. It is 1 year cap hit 2.5.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well.
Yeah, I mean, I would have done that.
Money.
But once they brought in Elijah Mitchell and Kareem Hunt, that was over.
I'll tell you, I wonder, do consider P. Ryan not here a miss, because I thought P. Ryan was outstanding on third down situations.
He was.
Great pass blocking, great pass catcher out of the backfield. I think I was so glad they went and got him when they did. Now he's, of course, with your Bengals, Drew, but I do think they'll miss
P.
Ryan.
He's back there, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. But Elijah Mitchell, the pass blocking is exactly great. That'll be happening. Something that has to be improved if he wants to be in there on third down.
Did anybody else, I just saw it come across, and then last night too, just, you know, there's moments where all of a sudden, you know, you see something and you're like, man, that makes you feel pretty old. The Chiefs put out year 10 for Chris Jones. Yesterday they put out year 9 for Mahomes. Like, you want to just, whew.
Decade.
I mean, time is flying. Time is flying. Better enjoy the Mahomes era and everything. I know we all are, but just like, and Chris Jones even. You know, to be in year 10 already. Like, we're on the downward slope here for Chris.
Well, the fortunate thing is, Chris Jones is on the downward. The fortunate thing for Mahomes is this is the peak era for quarterbacks when you get in your 30s. So that's good. The peak Mahomes you haven't seen yet. 30s, that's when you see it.
Chris Jones, by the way, we're expected to hear from him at 1 o'clock today. He's
nice,
one of the players that will talk post day one of the quick, 3-day mini camp that's going on at the Chiefs practice facility.
Mandatory.
It is mandatory. Otherwise, you know, if you miss all three, unless it's excused, you get fined $105,000 or so. I do want to shout out anybody that's grown up in Kansas City. And if you went to school in the Kansas City area, you probably were fortunate at some point in time to have Casey Wolf come to your school. I went to Pleasant Ridge Elementary, and I remember, I don't know what grade I was in. Maybe it was first or second grade, but I remember Casey Wolf coming to the school, right into our gymnasium. And that was like such a big deal. And it was one of the cooler things. It was a day that, again, that you remember when Casey Wolf went to your school.
I got my picture with him like a month ago. He was at a function I was at.
And today's National Mascot Day. And the Chiefs announced earlier today that after 35 years as Casey Wolf, Dan Mears is going to officially retire. I believe July 1 is when that'll become official. So there will be a different Casey Wolf, if you will, moving forward. But 35 years of the mascot.
That's a long time.
Think about all the memories that he created for a lot of people, whether you were in elementary school or, you know.
You're all grown up, and your kids seeing them now.
Yeah, and going to Chiefs games, and I know they still do some of this, but in the late 90s, early 2000s, I believe he would have his friends, and they still do it, but his friends dress up as like a Broncos fan. He'd come out on the golf cart and tackle them, stuff like that. Those are some of my first memories of going to Chiefs games. I always thought as a kid that was like the coolest thing when the Raiders fan would come out and he'd jump off the little the ATV or whatever, and he'd tackle them, stuff like that. That was Dan Mears in that suit. So congrats to Dan. Obviously, 35 years as a mascot, that's pretty special.
You don't have to wear it in St. Joe anymore in the 100-degree heat. You ever smelled that wolf?
Well, I'm sure it stinks, Bink, because you're sweating in that. I mean, I mean
that's a terrible thing.
There's only one of us on the show that's been in a mascot outfit for one day, okay? At least one game. And junior high, one game, Bink. One game. I was the Bulldog at California Trail Junior High for one game.
Nice, nice.
They needed somebody. It was a fill-in thing for one game, and it was a lot of fun. But that thing was hot. That thing was very warm.
You ever been mascot, Drew?
No.
Bink?
No, I've never been a mascot.
Would you have wanted to?
No. You know how hot it is in those things?
But back in the day?
I remember one time, as a long time ago, my kids were real small. We waited in line for a balloon animal or something. Like within a minute, Sluggard popped it. It was like 100 degrees.
So
it was like
AI is taking everybody's jobs. They're not having an AI mascot. That's not happening. Surely not.
Mascots are important, though, because if the team's terrible, they do cheer people up. It is something you know, for people to get excited. Not a huge fan of clowns. I hate clowns and stuff like
Drew.
That.
don't get Drew started on the clowns.
Mascots are a bit different. But
mascots are way different.
Some are different.
Yeah, I mean, look, Casey Wolf, 35, here in Kansas City. I wonder, outside of Kansas City, how many people know Casey Wolf? I think quite a few. It's one of those.
It's iconic.
In the NFL, there's not that many mascots that you actually can name, right? Like Toro down in Houston. You were telling me the story
Toro
about
the
it.
Bull.
Yeah.
Kansas City guy.
Yeah, that's what you were telling me before the show. Like in baseball, you know him. Like, you know Slugger. Philly Fanatic's one of the best mascots in sports, period.
Mr. Met.
Mr. Met.
San Diego Chicken.
Mrs. Met. San Diego Chicken.
You never heard of the San Diego Chicken?
I don't know if I...
Oh, man.
All I remember is the Pelicans mascot scared a bunch of people.
San Diego Chicken was so popular, teams used to hire him to come to your games. So it'd be the San Diego Chicken coming to. Oh, that's probably the most famous
mascot
ever. My favorite
mascot is Boomer. Shout out to Boomer, the Pacers. The Pacers mascot.
See, the Western Kentucky Hilltopper is one I've always seen.
Phoenix is really cool. Yeah. Dunking gorilla.
There are some creepy
Syracuse
ones for sure.
The orange, like the orange guy thing, you know?
The ones that are like in the line of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers are the Padres,
some
Friar,
mascots have a head,
the Providence
no
Friar.
Yeah.
Like Willie the Wildcat. Did you ever hear about
Willie the Wildcat's a cool mascot.
The Mountaineer mascot. Have you ever seen him?
Of course. Which one, Bink?
No, for the Mountaineers. It's like dude.
He's got the gun.
He carries a musket.
There's two Mountaineers. Which one? App State or West Virginia?
West Virginia.
Okay.
West Virginia. He actually killed a bear with that rifle, and they like took it away from him. Killed a bear with actual... Yeah, he killed a bear.
No way.
Yeah.
Was he dressed up as the mascot when he did it?
I don't know but he had that musket. Yes, the West Virginia University mascot did kill a bear while hunting. The incident occurred in 2012. It drew public attention.
If I think of mascots, I think of college teams way more than I do pro teams.
I'm just saying. I mean, that's a mascot out there, you know, killing a bear. That's pretty awesome.
Someone says, Gold, how do you not know about the San Diego Chicken?
The most popular mascot ever.
I've never heard of the San Diego Chicken.
Are you kidding me?
This is an age thing. I'm looking up the history of the San Diego Chicken. It started in 1975. I was born in 91.
I was born in 95.
But still, though, it was still around when you were a kid.
Was it?
Yeah.
I mean, it said in 1991, the year I was born, he appeared in a Captain D's commercial. I was 1 year old. In 94, I was 3 years old. He was featured in Boys Life magazine. Again, I was three.
I wasn't born yet.
In 2004, okay, I was 10. He was in the middle, an episode of Malcolm in the Middle. Okay,
so maybe, he's been in movies and TV shows.
We're talking when I'm anywhere from 1 year old to 14 years old. This is when, so for me, no. Yeah, it sounds like it was a very famous mascot, but I have no clue.
So they don't use the chicken anymore.
Why not?
It sound like it.
AI says yes. Yes, the San Diego Padres still acknowledge and celebrate the San Diego chicken.
I want to go to a Padres game. I also want to go to San Diego.
Wait, the Padres have a fryer as the mascot.
They had a chicken, too. But the original performer has significantly reduced his appearances.
is it a live?
He's not a regular mascot at every game. The Padres recognize him as a significant, significant part of their history and celebrate his legacy during special occasions. San Diego chicken, didn't La Russa get in that?
I still think Gritty's great. Gritty's is fairly new mascot, but Gritty's great.
Lasorda, didn't he get into it with the chicken or something like that at some point?
I'm not sure. I'm looking up. Otto the Orange is the name of the one I was thinking of. Okay.
Who's got the best local mascot? The Jayhawk?
No, boy.
Truman the Tiger, Willie the Wild Cat.
Hold on, are we talking?
I don't think if your mascot costume literally is a head and then just a body, then it can't be that.
So it's not Willie.
It's down to Truman? The Jayhawk or Truman the Tiger, and then some people will knock the Jayhawk because it's mythical, but it's one of the most unique mascots and iconic. Mm. You look on TV and it's on the court, you know exactly what school is playing basketball.
True.
I hate to say, sorry, K-State, sorry, Missouri. The most iconic mascot in the locals is the Jayhawk.
Tiger's kind of funny with that tail.
Look, all the mascots, in my opinion, all the mascots are great. But in terms of iconic or in terms of, like, if you have a mythical animal that is on the court, to Gold's point, I know that the Wildcat is as well, but if you see...
There's the Northwestern Wildcats, too. I don't know which one you're talking about.
If you say Jayhawks, you know good and well who that belongs
to. That's right. That's right, Drew.
Slugger's funny. You know, Slugger, he brings his dad. You know, he has his dad on Father's Day. It's the older cat. But I'll be honest with you, I think the Pasquatch actually the best mascot for the Royals.
Mm. Well, that's a great thing they do out there. For those that we only mentioned the three locals, but the Washburn and Topeka, the Ichabod, that is true. Someone texted in, one of the most original mascots in college sports. That is a fact. That is absolutely a fact. The Ichabod, man, that's unique.
Well, the Buckeye?
I guess
Brutus
so.
Buckeye?
Yeah,
Brutus. He's pretty popular.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think one thing about college, too, is they have the live mascots, you know?
Yeah, the Bulldog.
You like the live mascots.
I met the Bulldog. You know what they bring up?
Ralphie's pretty cool.
Georgia brings a doghouse for the dog, the Bulldog.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
And he got into it with Bevo, right, in Texas. That's why they can't have both mascots there at the same time, because they actually have a real
Bevo
bull.
Bevo also is an iconic mascot.
Yeah, Bevo's awesome. But they bring, like, a doghouse for that dog.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's air-conditioned. But he didn't go on the charter anymore.
I'm not surprised.
He took a dump on the floor or something like that on the charter. So he flies separately.
Of course, you would know that thing.
All right, up next, guys.
I interviewed the damn dog.
We'll get to what's trending. We'll talk more about minicamp beginning today, what we expect to have happen contract-wise for Trey Smith. And somebody made their return to baseball, at least a baseball mound, yesterday. That's coming up right here on Cody and Gold.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.